Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, the verses 28 to 30. These words also form the text for the sermon. Let us hear the word of God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word to our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Dear friends, during the course of our lifetime, we receive many invitations. We receive invitations to attend weddings, birthday parties, anniversaries, charity events, social gatherings. And at times, hopefully most of the time, we accept these invitations and we do so gladly. But at other times, we do not. Sometimes we can even look for excuses not to accept them. Well, our text today contains an invitation that is so wonderful, so amazing, so gracious, so sincere, so well meant, so necessary that we cannot refuse. And it's not an invitation from a friend or a relative. It's not even an invitation from the Prime Minister or the King of England or the President of the United States. It's an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's not an invitation to attend a birthday party, a wedding, or some other social event. It is an invitation to come to him. And it's to these words that we turn our attention with God's help. The theme for the sermon is Christ's invitation to the spiritually weary. We'll consider, first of all, the persons addressed by this invitation. Secondly, the prescription contained in this invitation. And thirdly, the promise attached to this invitation. The words of our text are part of an extended discourse beginning in verse 20. Matthew doesn't mention this, but according to the parallel account in Luke's Gospel, Jesus had just sent out the 70 disciples to preach and to perform miracles in his name. Well, sometime later, they returned with a very positive report. And they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Well, upon hearing this, Luke says that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And he said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Matthew records the same words in verses 25 to 27. But then he goes on to record the words of our text, which Luke does not. Having just declared that not everyone knows the Father, but only those to whom the Son is pleased to reveal him, emphasizing the narrowness of the gospel, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," thereby emphasizing the openness of the gospel. Notice in the first place to whom this invitation is extended. It is extended to those who labor and are heavy laden. Well, who are these people? There are several possibilities. Jesus here could have in mind those who are laboring under conviction of sin. Sin is like a heavy burden. Think, for example, of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. The great burden that was on his back represented his sins. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in the heart of a sinner, he shows him his sin and the curse due to him for his sin. His sins become a great burden for him, from which he longs to be set free. And until they are, they labor and are heavy laden. But Jesus could also here be thinking of those who are living in fear of judgment. After all, in verses 20 to 24, Jesus pronounces woes on Chorazin and Bethsaida, these two towns in Galilee. And he did so because although Jesus had done many mighty works there, he said the people there did not repent. And that prompted Jesus to warn them. He said, "I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, two Gentile cities, in the day of judgment than for you." And he said the same thing to the city of Capernaum. "And you, Capernaum," he said, "who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Now you can imagine some of the people there hearing this would be burdened by the fear of judgment. You can imagine them thinking to themselves, if it will be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for these cities in Galilee, what will become of us? But it's most likely that when Jesus speaks of those who labor and are heavy laden, he's referring to those who were laboring under a heavy yoke of legalism, imposed on them by their religious teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees. And I say that because after inviting sinners to come to him, Jesus in verses 29 and 30 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Twice here, Jesus makes reference to a yoke. What is a yoke? A yoke is a piece of wood that was placed on the necks of a pair of animals so that they could pull a plow or a cart together. Well, here it's used as a metaphor for the obligations that one had to take upon himself in order to be a disciple of Christ. You see, when Jesus saves somebody, he expects and demands that he or she live for him, serve him, follow his teachings, and keep his commandments. And Jesus refers to that as a yoke. Now, the scribes and Pharisees also had a yoke, and it consisted of a long list of do's and don'ts. And they said that if you can keep this long list of do's and don'ts, you can earn your own righteousness before God and receive the gift of everlasting life. Essentially, you could earn your own way into heaven. But there were at least two problems with this. First of all, there is no way that anyone can earn their own salvation by doing some things and not doing other things. You can try, but you'll fail time and time and time again. And that's because everything that we do is tainted by sin and is therefore completely unacceptable to God. Secondly, their yoke was impossible to bear. Jesus said as much. In Luke 11, verse 46, Jesus is quoted as saying this, "Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Now notice how Jesus referred to the rules and regulations of the scribes and the Pharisees. He called them burdens. They were burdens because they were impossible to bear. And yet the scribes and the Pharisees demanded that the people carry them. But the more they tried, the more they found they could not do it. And as a result, they labored and were heavy laden. Now there are still people like that in the church today. These are people who are constantly going around seeking to establish their own righteousness. They think, if only I did more of this, or if only I was more like that, if only I prayed more, if only I read my Bible more, if only I was more gentle, more godly, more spiritual, if only I had more faith, if only I was a better husband, father, wife, or mother, if only I could gain mastery over this or that sin in my life, then, maybe then, God would accept me. Then, maybe then, God would save me. But dear friends, no matter how hard we try to make ourselves acceptable before God, you simply cannot do it. And why is that? Because, as I mentioned already, we are sinners. And as sinners, everything we do is tainted by sin. And so whatever righteousness we earn will always, always be imperfect. In fact, it will be totally unacceptable before God. And what is more, the more we try to earn our own righteousness before God, the more weary and the more heavy laden we will become. So what's the solution? Well, Jesus tells us we must come to Him. And that brings us to our second point. To those who labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, "Come unto me." Now that raises the question, what does that mean exactly? What does Jesus mean when he says, "Come unto me"? Well, first of all, let's be clear what he does not mean. Obviously, Jesus is not to be taken literally. He's not saying, "Come to me physically, bodily, locally." That's impossible, because Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of his Father. There is no way we can actually go to him physically. Nor is he saying, "Come to the church," or "Come to the sacraments," or "Come to Bible study," as important as all these things may be. No, he says, "Come to me." Now it's obvious here, Jesus here is speaking figuratively. When Jesus says, "Come unto me," he means, "Believe on me." He means, "Embrace me as your Lord and Savior." He means, "Look to me and my atoning work on the cross as the only hope and ground of your salvation, as the only basis of your righteousness before God." Now we know this because of what we read in John 6, verse 35. Jesus had just performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The next day, the Jews came to him and asked him for a sign. And they reminded him that Moses gave them a sign too. It was the manna in the wilderness. Now, picking up on this idea, Jesus says that this manna pointed to him. John 6, verse 32, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now, in response to this statement, the Jews asked him to give them this bread, to which Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Notice the parallelism here. "He who comes to me" is parallel to the statement, "He who believes on me." So to come to Christ means to believe on him. It means to look to him in faith. It means to embrace him and his atoning work on the cross as the only hope and ground of our salvation. Now, this is what Christ invites those who labor and are heavy laden to do. He invites them to come to him, to believe on his name, to look to him as their only hope of salvation. Well, let me ask you, have you done that? Some people struggle with the simplicity of this. They say, "I cannot just come to Christ, can I? Surely I must know more of my sins. Surely I must have a stronger faith. Surely I must be more holy." In other words, they place conditions on the invitation. They say sinners may come to Christ if they do or don't do certain things, if they meet certain qualifications. But that is just Phariseeism, repackaged. And Jesus places no conditions on the invitation. He simply says, "Come." Now, certain people, in a reaction to easy believism, disagree with that. And they say that our Lord does indeed place a restriction on who may come. They say only those who labor and are heavy laden may come. And anyone who comes to him without these marks is guilty of stealing him, of taking a Christ who was never intended for them. But dear friends, that cannot be. The truth is, the offer of grace as presented in the Scriptures is sovereign, to be sure, but it is also free, sincere, and well-meant. In Proverbs 8, verses 3 and 4, Lady Wisdom cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors, and she says, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Indiscriminately, she calls to all. In Romans 10, verses 12 to 13, Paul, quoting Joel 2, verse 32, writes this, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We could think, too, of Revelation 22, verse 17, where Jesus says, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So over and over and over again, the Scriptures invite all men, whoever they may be, no matter what their condition, to come to Christ and to come to Him as they are, with much or little conviction of sin, with much or little faith, with much or little grace of any kind, and He sincerely promises to save them. Now you say, if that is so, why does Jesus seem to extend His invitation only to those who labor and are heavy laden? Well, He does this not to set forth a condition or a prerequisite that must be fulfilled. He's merely describing the condition of the vast majority of the Jews of His day. They were laboring, as I've said already, and heavy laden under the yoke of legalism imposed on them by the scribes and Pharisees. And so when Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, He means, come to me, all of you, just as you are, because this is a description of all of you. But you ask, why does Jesus invite us to come to Him? And the reason is because coming to Him is the only solution to our problem. In order to stand before God and live, you and I need to be righteous, because God is righteous and absolutely holy. And the problem is, you and I are not righteous, nor can we do anything to earn that righteousness, because it must be a perfect righteousness. What you and I need is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way that that righteousness can become ours is by faith. It is by coming to Him. It is by believing on Him, trusting in Him. And the Lord knows this. And that's why He invites, no, commands us to come to Him. For it is only by coming to Him, by believing on Him, by trusting in Him, by looking to Him, that we can be saved. Commenting on this word, Bishop J.C. Ryle writes this. He says, come is a word of merciful invitation. It seems to say, I want you to escape the wrath to come. I'm not willing that any should perish. I have no pleasure in your death. I would have all men to be saved, and to all men I offer the water of life freely. So come unto me. Come, he says further, is a word of gracious expectation. It seems to say, I am here waiting for you. I sit on my mercy seat, expecting you to come. I wait to be gracious. I wait for more sinners to come in before I shut the door. I want more names written down in the book of life before it is closed forever. So come to me. Come is also a word of kind encouragement, says Ryle. It seems to say, I have got treasures to bestow. If only you will receive them. I have that to give which makes it worthwhile to come. A free pardon, a robe of righteousness, a new heart, a star of peace. So come, come to me. Well, let me ask you, have you done so? Have you come to Christ? And if not, will you do so today? And if you have come to Him, will you keep on coming to Him? Maybe you too are weary and are heavy laden. You've been trying to earn the favor of God by doing and not doing certain things, but it never seems to be enough. And what we do is never good enough. And it brings you down even further and further. It only increases the burden of your guilt. My friend, listen to Jesus. He comes to you today and He says, come unto me. Stop trying to earn your own righteousness before God. You'll never be able to do it. Come to me. I will give you what you need to stand before God and live. Now you say, is that all that we must do? Is it enough simply to come to Christ? No. For Jesus goes on to speak about his yoke. We must also take his yoke upon us. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. To take Christ's yoke means to follow his teachings, to keep his commandments. But here's the thing. His yoke is not like the yoke of the scribes and the Pharisees. No, his yoke is much easier. Jesus says as much, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. They say, why is his yoke easy and his burden light? Because he kept the law of God for all who believe on his name. Although they must still keep the law, they don't have to keep it in order to earn their own salvation. That's where the rich young ruler went wrong. Jesus did that for them. And now keeping the law is not a drudgery, but a delight. It's no longer a heavy burden, but a light burden. And believers keep it not in order to earn anything by it, because we can't, but in order to express their love and thankfulness to God. What is more, Jesus promises to give them his Holy Spirit, who will help them to bear this yoke. And when they fail, as they will often, they do not have to fear. For Jesus says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. That means he will not lash out at them, much less punish them for every single little infraction. On the contrary, he will be patient and forbearing and loving. He will, as we learned last week, gather the lambs in his arm and gently, gently lead those who are with young. And so Jesus commands those who labor and are heavy laden to come to him and take his yoke upon them. And those who do will be the recipients of a wonderful promise. And that brings us to our third and final point. After inviting sinners to come unto him, our Lord promises that to those who do, he will give rest. Come to me, he says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now this promise of rest is repeated elsewhere in the scriptures. We find it in Isaiah 11, verse 10. We read these words, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And similarly, in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, we read these words, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. You say, what is this rest? Well, let's be clear. This is not a rest of inactivity. The Christian is never at rest in that sense. The Christian is always active. He's actively fighting against sin and temptation. He's actively striving to put sin to death in his life and to walk in the ways of the Lord. He's a soldier constantly fighting the good fight of faith. Rather, this rest is the rest that we experience when we come to trust in Christ as our Savior and Lord. When we come to trust in Christ, when we trust in Him and look to Him as the only hope and ground of our salvation, then something wonderful happens. We don't have to work anymore. We're set free from the bondage of the covenant of works, which we cannot keep. And why is that? Because He has done it all for us. Whatever righteousness we need in order to stand before God and live, He has earned. There's nothing for us to do but to rest in Him. And isn't that exactly what we need? Isn't that exactly what we long for? Nothing is more satisfying after a long, hard day at work than to come home and rest. To put on your slippers, grab your newspaper and a nice drink, and sit in your lazy boy and relax. And dear friends, what is true physically is also true spiritually, only more so. What you and I need is rest. Rest from trying to earn the favor of God by the things that we do. And we need that rest because nothing is more exhausting than that. Nothing is more exhausting than always trying to be something that we cannot be, or trying to do things that we simply cannot do. And Jesus knows that. So he comes to us in our text, and he promises that if we come to him, then he will give us rest. What is more, this rest is a rest that will endure to all eternity. For heaven is a place of rest. In Revelation 14, verse 13, John heard a voice from heaven. And the voice said, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Heaven is a place of rest. Rest from sin. Rest from temptation. Rest from the constant attacks of Satan. And rest in Christ. Dear friend, do you desire that rest today? Are you laboring and are heavy laden? Are you tired of trying to earn the favor of God by the things that you do, knowing that you never can? Jesus says, stop doing that. Stop trying to earn my favor. You can't do it. Rather, look to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. Amen. Dear friends, it's our great joy and privilege to be able to preach to you the Word of God every Sunday on this station. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. May I please ask you to write us a short note if you appreciate this ministry? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can email us at bannerofTruth@frcna.org. And when you write, please indicate the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to this message again, or forward it to someone you care about, you can download all of our messages at any time from our website. Our website is www.bannerofTruthRadio.com. That's bannerofTruthRadio.com. You can also find our messages on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. If you live in or near Mitchell, Ontario, you're welcome to attend the services at the Bethel Free Reformed Church, 6011 Line 26, West Perth, Ontario. Worship services are held every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount or make a donation right on our website. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.